The liturgy can be an amazing teacher for both pastor and congregation. Using scripture as the basis, the liturgy not only teaches, it comforts and offers solace to a drifting spirit. Song or prayer, the texts are some of the most comforting verses I have ever known. In the commendation of the dying, the pastor says a beautiful and simple prayer. Then let at last your angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing. Within my earthen chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until your reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that my own eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, your glorious face, my Savior and my ground of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, O hear my prayer, O hear my prayer. You will also recognize these words from the hymn, Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart. Wonderful words, Abram's bosom, bear me home. So yesterday, after working on the text earlier in the week, I began writing this sermon. Looking toward the liturgy as a teacher, which I commonly do, I pondered the idea of prayer, promise, two wonderful parts in this text. I had barely jotted a word of this sermon when I received an email from a college fraternity brother. Personally, he was still in a little shock. But he wanted to alert the brothers that his 21-month-old son, Alec, was diagnosed with cancer. The cancer is untreatable and therefore unable to be cured. The father asked for prayers and the comforts of the promise of God. As you have already realized, many times the text and the life around you ring in harmony as you prepare your sermons. Suddenly the sermon becomes personal to you in a very different way. No longer does your sermon speak in second person, or maybe third. The text takes on a life of its own. Prayer and promises are interesting things. Abram, occupied with the unfulfilled promise of God, is filled with doubt, anger, and lost hope. He doubts the promise made by God as he considers his own childless marriage. Abram also has come to the resolve that the plan of his servant, who is due to inherit his property upon his death, is the destiny of the promise. Abram had been given a clear promise of God about his natural seed. There were nevertheless those around him who must have scoffed at the promise, as heretics and those that deny the promises are often in the habit of doing. Those around Abram made the case that the promise was not to be applied to his natural seed, but to an adopted one belonging to the household, for Abram was an old man and his wife was barren. The promises, of course, were sure, but along came this demonic reasoning with its distinction between natural and adopted seed. This reasoning so disturbs and distresses the heart of the saintly patriarch that he humbles himself and submits to what he feels is the will of God, but not without profound grief and sorrow, for he thinks that God is forsaking him and has changed his will. Abram goes to the Lord in prayer. This is a private prayer, in the quiet of the night as he is drawn to seek help. The Lord comes to Abram and strengthens him. God's message to him is profuse, and he lavishes the grace on Abram, even adding signs and wonders. Abram is led outside to look at the stars. As the text reads, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. So shall your descendants be." The prayer and the promise of God is assured. The promised child had yet to come, but God made himself known to Abram. We know that Abram becomes Abraham and is blessed with a son. The son he names Isaac. Abraham's one and only son, the son of the promise, the son of the prayer. Abraham seems to have the promise fulfilled. He has a son, and his descendants will be as many as the stars in heaven. Yet Abraham is asked to do something no man should face. Abraham is asked to sacrifice his son. Isaac is to be slain. The pain of the father at the pending death of his only son. A substitute is made for Abraham's son, and Isaac is spared. Indeed, we as descendants of Abraham are witnesses and benefactors of the promise of a substitute. The prayer of the Son is a reality in the Trinity. God the Father sacrificed his only begotten Son, Jesus, for the sins of the world, the divine substitute given to a sinful race so that the Father can find those with sin sinless. We see the promise in Abraham and his prayer and promise, the prayer and the promise that is fulfilled in God's sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. For my friend's son, Alec, the end is going to come sooner than later, and sooner than it should. The end of his earthly life is from the stain of sin, the stain of a fallen world, the same evil of sin that dwells within you and all of you people that are born of man. By God's grace, the substitute came for us, the Christ, the Son of God, who is sacrificed for you, for your sins, as it is for Alec and for his disease. Christ is Alec's substitute. He might face a short future on this earth, but Alec has gained an eternal home. For you, the prayer and the promise is also a reality as you prepare for your future. You have prayed for help and guidance in your life, and you wait the fulfilling of the promise of our Lord. Yet that promise isn't something that is only revealed to you in the future. The promise of your inheritance is a reality in the here and now. You, the descendants of Abraham, your life spared by a living sacrifice, Jesus Christ, now live in prayer and promise. The promise is given, the promise of the ultimate sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus, the sacrificial substitute for your sins. Jesus, who provides for you the ultimate healing that is yours as a descendant of Abraham, chosen by God. Abraham, who on that last day will carry you home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.